number of years ago. This is a funny story, I don't know. My sense of humor is different though, so you may not think this is funny. I just think this is the funniest thing in the world, so I don't know. One of my professors used to say, if you're not funny, don't try to be funny. I'm probably not funny, so this is probably not a good time to do this, but just given the mood of the day, everyone seems to be so uptight. So my favorite food in the world, I think, is mashed potatoes with gravy. The real ones, not the fake ones, the real ones where you have to, you know, and you boil them in the water, right? And then you... And so my job, I really only have one job I'm entrusted to, and it's to make mashed potatoes, because I like mashed potatoes, and I'm kind of picky. So if I'm eating my mashed potatoes and I get a lump, I get very discouraged. So finally, my amazing, loving, beautiful, patient, godly wife finally said, you're going to make the mashed potatoes. So that's been my job from now and evermore. So now I do the mashed potatoes. I mean, she does all the hard stuff, but I do the thing where you put them in the thing and mash them. So I had this idea right after I came that we should do a Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving potluck, because this is like my favorite food, this turkey and this mashed potatoes and all this. So I said, let's do this like the second Sunday before Thanksgiving, you know, we'll have this and then we can have Thanksgiving twice. Good, right?
Amen.
So to make a long story short, the first year we had it, there were like no mashed potatoes. Of course. So, when I was a kid in my early 20s, you can't make this up, my beloved sister, Janet, she had Thanksgiving at her house. And she really probably didn't gauge how much I like mashed potatoes. So, she had Thanksgiving, and it was for my family and my sisters and my mom and my dad and me, and it was just this immediate family. But she's 10 years older than I am, so she probably didn't have a good gauge. I mean, I was a young guy eating a lot. So she had this little bowl of mashed potatoes, and she started passing it around, and this is Thanksgiving. And I took all the mashed potatoes, and there was none left in the bowl. And then I said, well, can you get the other bowl out? Because she said, well, there is, we don't have another bowl. So I ate all the mashed potatoes. So I have this history of being kind of obsessive. So here, this is coming to a conclusion, trust me. So the second year we had Thanksgiving potluck here at Calvary Bible Church. See, because the first year we didn't have any mashed potatoes. So the second year, I said the week before Thanksgiving potluck, I said, hey, if you want to bring some, this is from the announcements, I said, if you want to bring something, bring some mashed potatoes because we usually don't have any mashed potatoes. So then that year, there were like 28 bowls of 10 pounds of mashed potatoes. It was so great. And there were like four tables full of bowls of mashed potatoes. I'm not being hyperbolic. There were like 28 bowls of 10-pound mashed potatoes. It was just great. So then our precious, loving women of the church, my precious, loving, patient wife, they in love and grace and gently said to me, don't ever tell people to bring mashed potatoes again. So I never did. And then this morning, Terry comes up to me and she says, we don't have any mashed potatoes. I'll go home and make some. So Terry's at home right now making mashed potatoes because none of you brought them.
We did.
Okay, good, good, good. All right. Grace is greater than our sin. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so grateful and thankful for the smiles on our faces and the joy in our heart for the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, that we can be like-minded, that we can be together in the church and share our struggles, our sins, our victories, our salvation together, share Christ together as fellowship. And we do that in all things, but so symbolically we do that as we have communion together in the Lord's Supper, and we have communion together, dear God, in real food as well, and we thank you for that. Dear God, as we just briefly turn now to meditate on the Lord's Supper, I pray that you would just prepare every heart, and my cry is that no one would partake in an unworthy manner. But you would be pleased, dear God, and spiritual business will have been done in this place, that we would just be in your will as we study this great subject of being thankful. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, moving from the silly to the serious, it was an absolutely historic week in our country. Just historic. Because of the election, just a monumental a week in our nation. So many people were upset. People were rioting. They were protesting. But yet there were others who were rejoicing in the prospect of a new beginning and a new direction. It was a historic week. And just looking back and thinking about everything that happened this last week, wherever you stand today on the direction of our nation, I'm thankful because the Bible says there is no authority except from God. And I really believe that is true. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the sovereignty of God related to putting leaders in authority. I believe that with all my heart. There is no authority except from God. And also the Bible says God disposes of rulers and raises them up. That's from Daniel 2:21. I believe in the sovereignty of God related to the leaders and those in authority. And I believe that God has heard the cries of people. And he has moved during this election season. As a nation, I believe we have some positive traction now in this whole abortion arena. And to me, that's the most important issue that we face as a nation, the protection of the unborn. And maybe in a selfish way, I'm thankful this morning with the prospect of having religious freedom that will keep men just like myself out of jail. I'm really thankful for that today with all of my heart. And as a Christian today living in America, I want us just to forget about all of the things that happened this week for a moment. And I just want us to think about all of the things we have, every single person here. All of the things we have to be thankful for. And I usually do this once a year. I try to focus on this great subject of being thankful. And this is just a natural time in the church. This is a good week to do it as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and as we think about the pre-Thanksgiving dinner we're about to have. It's a wonderful time to pause and for you to think about all of the things you have today to be thankful for. And I was thinking very much about a passage in First. You don't have to turn there, just listen. I'm going to have you turn in a moment to another passage. But I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want you to think about that with me. That's going to be the focus of our brief time in the Word this morning. In everything, Dave was just showing me this morning the picture of his brand new grandbaby. Just born, he said, 2 hours ago this morning. Praise God. Praise God for new life, right? When we get new, when we get results of some circumstance in our life that's pleasing, the temptation is to be overjoyed and to be thankful. By contrast, when there's a circumstance that is not favorable, or the election is not favorable, or my finances are not favorable, or my health, the temptation is very, very quickly to move from being thankful to being ungrateful. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. If you're a thankful Christian this morning, you're in the will of God. But if you're like so many people, and you struggle with circumstances, and you're ungrateful, you're out of the will of God today. And everything else will be a struggle. Everything else will be a struggle. Look in your Bible with me at Luke 17. Very quickly, Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. God has a lot to say about the subject of the ungrateful. And you really find a striking illustration of this in Luke 17. And of course, this is the context of 10 lepers being cleansed, being healed. Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" Are you a thankful person today, beloved? We have been healed, Christian, from the leprosy of sin. And if you have been healed today from the leprosy of sin, the curse, the disease, the misery, the chains, the bondage, the brokenness of sin, if you have been healed, we must be people of thanksgiving. For this is the will of God. As we think about the second Sunday today, and we partake of the Lord's table, this is a tremendous time to emphasize a heart of thankfulness for what God has done. Look in one more passage, if you will. Look at 2 Corinthians with me, 9. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9. Are we thankful this morning in everything? This is the will of God. 2 Corinthians 9, turn there with me, beginning in verse 7. And let's read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The context of 2 Corinthians 9 is fascinating. It's the Apostle Paul teaching the church about the subject of the Christian and giving his money to the work of ministry is really the big subject here. And he begins, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Emphasis added. This is an absolutely fascinating section of Scripture. The context of 2 Corinthians 9 is really about the principle of giving. The literal principle of giving are finances to ministry. Look at verse 7, as a cheerful giver. This is the New Testament principle of giving. We call it grace giving. Each one must do as he has purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. That's why you never hear me saying, you have to give this, you have to give that. You have to give this percent or that percent. I won't do it, because the Bible doesn't teach it in the New Testament. It teaches it in the theocracy of Israel. It doesn't teach it in the New Covenant, New Testament church. If it did, I would teach it. You cannot strong arm or push people or intimidate people into any type of giving that is pleasing with God. Better to not give it than to give under the wrong motive. And that's the principle here. That's the principle. You have to trust God in the ministry to allow the Holy Spirit to move people to give above and beyond 10%. You must do that in the ministry. Else you become a little mini cult leader, always trying to intimidate people into doing something they don't want to do. I won't do it. Verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. If you give graciously, God will give you more, is the principle. Not the health, wealth, or prosperity heresy. This is the scriptural doctrine of giving generously will supply, by God's grace, your needs. It's powerful. And not only that, look at verse 11. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Not just the things you could see, but there are spiritual benefits as well, which through us is producing what? Thanksgiving to God is our subject this morning. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. There's a dual benefit of genuine Christian giving. You bless the one you're giving to, and you receive back blessing from God. The people are thankful whom you give to, and God supplies your needs, produces thanksgiving both ways. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. There's a beautiful double emphasis here on the giver and the gift and the recipient. While they also, verse 14, by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Praise God this morning. If you give to Christian ministry, only God can produce that in a person's heart. Praise God if you do that. If you do that willingly, not under compulsion, God loves a cheerful giver. Praise God. Now, let's conclude this is fascinating in verse 15. And someone visiting today would say, oh, here, it's, I thought it might change, but I've been gone from church for 15 years, and the first time I come back, we're talking about giving. Does it ever end? Look at verse 15. Your giving money really isn't even the point of this. The point of this is verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift is the point. The Bible, beloved, compares the believer giving money to the church for the work of the ministry with God giving you the gift of His Son. And so the supreme reason to be thankful today has nothing to do with a newborn baby or a political election or your circumstances or your finances. The Bible tells us to be thankful for the indescribable gift of Christ going to the cross to pay for our sins. And on Communion Sunday, this is what we do, this is what we remember. The indescribable gift of Jesus dying for me, the sinner, shedding His blood for me, the sinner, rising from the dead to provide for my justification. The indescribable gift of salvation given to unworthy sinners by grace through faith alone. I was thinking about Second Corinthians 5. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Wow. What a reason to be thankful today. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Verse 21, why should we be thankful? 2 Corinthians 5:21, why should we be thankful? God made Him, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. God made the perfectly holy, righteous, pure, perfect Jesus to be sin for the sinner. God treated Christ as if He were a sinner, though He was not. Jesus died as a substitute to pay the penalty for the sin I deserve. In other words, on the cross, Jesus was completely, utterly, totally, completely, perfectly pure, righteous, holy, sinless. God punished Him. He treated Him as if He were guilty. In other words, it's been well said, He was treated as if He were guilty of all the sins ever committed by all who would ever believe, though He committed none. The wrath of God was exhausted on Him. The just requirements of God's law were met for those whom He died, end quote. Jesus' perfect righteousness becomes the believer's perfect righteousness. This is an unbelievable thought, beloved. The reason people, real people like us, the reason they're not enraptured with the Lord's Supper and preaching and prayer and getting together, the reason why that is true is, in my opinion, they have never fully grasped the doctrine of the indescribable gift. the imputation of Christ's righteousness to their sinful account. The true Christian is thankful that God looks at them as righteous rather than a sinner. This is the gospel. This is Christianity. This is imputation, substitution, justification. It's been well said, Jesus bore their sins so they could bear His righteousness. God treated him as if he committed believers' sins and treats believers as if they did only the righteous deeds of the sinless Son of God. This is why we are thankful today. If you are a Christian, you have been given the righteousness of Christ. And Christ has taken your sin upon Himself. I was just reading a good article this week about how pastors very often are afraid and ashamed, and they feel like they can't, on Sunday morning when their churches are full, they can't proclaim these great doctrines. What a tragedy. Because they've been heard before, because people have already believed them, well, then we shouldn't bore people. We should tell them something new, because then they're going to be frustrated, and they're going to want to hear something new, and they'll go somewhere else and they'll leave your church. What a tragedy! What cowards! What cowards! The greatest message, the greatest doctrine, is you, unworthy sinner, have been given Christ's righteousness. You have been given Christ's righteousness. You have been given an indescribable gift. And in our world, in our culture, in our churches, you have untold numbers of people, and they're just not thankful. You've met them. They're not thankful people. Have you all seen the videos of people protesting? Boy, they're not thankful. I can tell you that right now. They're not thankful. And that's really a metaphor. Forget about this localized election in our country. That's just a picture. That's a summary of sinful man's heart. When I don't get what I want, I stomp up and down like a petulant 2-year-old having a tantrum. That's what you see on the news. That is a great, great illustration of the sinner's heart. In everything, beloved, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're a thankful person, you're in the will of God. If you're struggling with this attitude of being thankful today, I've been saying it all through the book of Hebrews. You have to allow the Holy Spirit in. You have to do that. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to make changes. The Holy Spirit will convict you. But then you have to answer that with repentance. And if you're struggling with this attitude of being thankful today, you let the Holy Spirit do that work. Confess that attitude of being ungrateful. And bring it right back to the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if one person does that today, and if we come to the Lord's table in our afternoon fellowship meal together, if we come in unity of being thankful for the indescribable gift, we, our church, is giving great glory to God. Let's pray. Dear God, we desire to be thankful today. We desire to be in your will, mainly because of the indescribable gift of Christ. First and foremost, the gift of forgiveness of sins is our heart's cry. We're thankful, dear God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and we believe it by faith. We're unworthy, we're wretched, we're sinful. We are the chief of sinners, hypocrites. The good that we want, we don't do. We do the very evil we do not want. And yet, we're thankful. We're thankful, dear God, that Christ, being fully holy, righteous, that He, as one who obeyed the law, took the penalty of the law willingly for me and suffered the wrath of God for me so that I could be freely given forgiveness. We're thankful, dear God, and I pray You would hear the cries of Your people today, and that You would accept our thanksgiving, and that we would be in Your will this day, and that You will have been glorified through the proclamation of Scripture, through the proclamation of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.